star of
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
I'm feeling extra snarky today.
Is that right? What's going on? What's making you so damn snarky?
Oh, just all this bullshit in this world.
That's true, left and right. It's like both sides. What are they even talking about? I'm stuck in the middle with you. We got a big get today. We locked down.
Things aren't going well.
I was like, was someone else scheduled? We got a big gap, but unfortunately, canceled at the last minute. So
not make it. I almost took a shot at an open mic comedian for no good reason. were supposed to have. I'm not going to say it.
That's a fun little bird, though. I don't know if you're like, we got a big get today, but fortunately, he canceled the last second, so we asked the person sitting right here.
That does feel, it feels like a very, like, Carson.
Hey, all, you can use that.
Hey, that's good.
So instead, you can use that.
Instead, we got Rudolph Hirschfeld or whatever.
Probably been called that a couple times.
You got the red nose.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
It's Ron on Hirschberg's here.
Oh, right, right.
Your real name. Yeah. This is, when we were looking through the
messages. My name's so weird, you still know what if you just said Rudolph Hirschberg, I was like, I know who that is. You got it. You're close enough.
Oof. But no, it's great to have you. It's been tough to nail down a good artist for you to defend.
Well, I had to wait it out. You had you start out the podcast with a lot of like bands that like guilty pleasures, and
sure.
I'm a shitty snob fuck guy. Mm-hmm. I don't have the guilty pleasures. I'm like, if I like something, it's because I think it's good, you know?
Sure.
But I had to wait you all out till you ran out of every guilty pleasure. And then you went, I guess now you're at underrated.
Yeah.
Underappreciated.
So now I can fucking come back on the podcast, you know? Because
yes.
I'm not like, I love the Hanson Brothers or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever your whatever Somebody... dismissive description of your podcast is.
Speaking of snob shit, you have a movie podcast where everybody hates you and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's like the exact opposite of... Well, originally the idea was... It's kind of the exact... Like, your podcast is very positive. It's like, let's appreciate these bands people say suck.
That's what it set out to be.
Yeah.
I feel like it turned into exactly the opposite. Well, got mad at
you're
us.
You're like 15 years in. You can't keep that useful positivity.
The very people we were trying to please ended up being the people who hated us the most.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, when it started out, this thing went out on CD. Yeah. Right.
But I was the opposite. We would talk, like bring up movies people love and explain why they're bad.
Right.
Joan Renantuck movies.
Yes, yes.
Which I just watched a clip the other day on beautiful Instagram, our favorite app. Mm-hmm. And it ended, and I had completely forgot that I did the theme song for it. Because it started playing after the clip. I was like, oh, shit.
You're like, this song fucking rules.
It's great. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, I was honored that it was in the clip, too.
Of
it was
course.
A short clip. I was like, oh, look at that.
It's the only professional thing we did for the podcast.
It is interesting. Like, when we started this one, I was like, we need like good album artwork and we need a good theme song.
We do have a great theme song.
Yeah,
Mike Carrazza
love our
killed
theme
it.
Mike
yeah.
Carrazza mm-hmm. and
wait, you didn't go with you?
No, I tried.
He didn't make the cut.
Now I'm like, should we have gotten someone better? You don't even get yourself. You don't even make the cut for your own podcast. And we're like, I was like, that was a big get for us. We got Tommy McNamara, you know?
Well, yeah, and I did Sarah's podcast too. Sarah Tolmash, Joe's wife.
Okay.
Have we ever had Sarah on?
We had Sarah talk about Tool.
That's right. That's right. Great episode.
You're like a movie scorer, but then you make your own movie, you don't use yourself. And then everyone's like, oh, man, he does not
like
believe in himself.
With the thing.
Exactly. Oh, good. That was... You really supplied a perfect... is that the one movie you didn't score?
Because it's... isn't it Ennio Morricone? Or am I thinking of a different movie? Yeah.
You might be right.
But there's one of them that Carpenter didn't score. Yeah.
You're knowing the knowledge, but then asking, like, I always... Like, isn't
it?
And I'm
funny.
Like...
Well, you guys might have done an episode about him recently, so I was just like...
What?
Did you do a Carpenter?
No, he's never done Carpenter. Yeah. I am actually... I'm not... I mean, I love Carpenter, but I'm not, like, a huge... I don't know everything about him, you know?
I want to do this Halloween, mark it down. I want to do
mark
Carpenter scores as a Halloween episode.
Because
I do love his
idea.
Scores. Yeah.
I was watching Assault. No, no.
Tommy bets on his scores.
You're such a gambling addict. Yeah. Like, let's put $50 on me doing this. I'm like, you know, you could just do it. You just gamble on everything. I'm going to put $25 on me wanting to get milk from the refrigerator in 25 minutes. Is that, you know, let's mark it down. All right, everybody. I was watching, what's not Assault on... The Escape from New York.
Escape from New York, yes.
And the score is so much like Halloween. It's like this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's really got it.
He's got distinct style.
He's got it. Yeah. But yeah, he got that one thing he really knows how to do a bunch of different versions of. Yeah. But he's very good, though, you know?
What have you guys done recently? You did...
Well, we're on hiatus. Oh. Right? Joe's on hiatus.
Joe's promoting his movie, right?
And then I watched an episode of 30 Rock where like Alec Baldwin's like, the show's on hiatus, and she's like, okay. And then everyone in her... department's like, you know, that means it's canceled. I was like, wait, have you seen that recently? That episode? We're on a hiatus. I mean, I'm using some guests, filling guests. We had Perlman, nice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which is better than Joe. He created a whole Showtime show.
That's
you know?
True. He's in the biz.
He's in the biz. Yeah.
Unlike Joe, who has a movie in theaters right now.
what did we do last? We did Nope.
Did you like?
Still haven't seen it.
I did like.
I really liked it.
I really liked it. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, there was maybe a time. I know. I typically don't always like movies that try to be so obscure and mysterious. Yes. You know, sometimes I'm like, I get that annoyed thing where I'm like, are you mysterious or just not fully developed? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you're not. You know, I don't like to. I feel that with some P.T. Anderson movies. I'm like, you know, it's not very clear what they're all about. And then you're like, is it underdeveloped or? Or just, is it too smart for me? You know what I mean? I feel that about, like, sometimes, like, Parts of the Master or shit like that. Mm. So it can be a cop-out. But Nope was just cool first of all, it was very entertaining just on the surface. But it had some cool, really cool ideas and I think it was definitely his most disturbing movie. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely one of those movies where you question what it's all about at the end. But I think after all this Marvel, you know, Spider-Man... in preschool, you know, Wolverine, the first time, you know, whatever, Aquawoman had
Wolverine's
a period or whatever
time.
The fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't ever watch any of those movies, right?
I do. I mean, I watch some of them.
Did you watch Spider-Man?
No. Wait,
it
which
is
one?
Actually good.
The alternate universe
the new
one?
Ones, that one's great, but the
I like
newer
how
ones
all,
really
all
good.
Great philosophy and physics is just down to Spider-Man movies. They're all expressed. Used to be Einstein and Stephen Hawking. Now it's like, have you seen the new theories of quantum physics in the Spider-Man reboot? Because there's like two now that are about like alternate. There's the cartoon.
Well, and then there's also Everything Everywhere All at Once was another one of those movies. Like Multiverse has taken over everything. And I don't understand it at all, really.
I'm very against it from a narrative point of view.
I feel the same way, and it stopped me from seeing movies I probably would enjoy.
I do
just don't
love
like
Everything
the concept
Everywhere
of
All at Once.
I know, I should have seen it. The multiverse thing.
I think
like.
When you take away the finality of things, it takes away all stakes.
There's no stakes. I feel the
same
way.
So if someone, if someone can't die... Like, it really takes away the stakes. I think that could also be a problem with, not to get, you know, who knows what's if there's a God or not, but just from a pure statement of a movie, I think sometimes ghosts can also, I remember I tried to watch that show, what was it called?
The
Ghost fucking
Hunters.
American, American Horror Story.
Yes.
And someone be killed, and then they'd be a ghost, but then the ghost would like walk around, and everyone would see them, and I'm like, I don't think you know how ghosts like. He's not a ghost, and it's like it took away all the finality. So I think with the multiverse, like, someone dies, but then there's 12 more of them, and it's like, well, now I've lost.
Sure.
I've lost the finality that gives it stakes and pressure and suspense. Yeah.
Well, you provided a perfect segue to what we're going to talk about today because you brought up Spider-Man. Man.
Yes, I didn't bring it up, but yes.
you did say Spider-Man.
Oh,
first.
Yeah, that's right.
there's a quote that Tom and I used to always do from the movie Knocked Up where she said, "I like Spider-Man."
Yep.
And you know who's in the movie Knocked Up?
Yeah, and did the soundtrack.
And did the score. Yes. Yeah.
Did the wonderful soundtrack with it's a really cool soundtrack because it he wrote it originally as a different album with Joe Henry and then he was hired. I think they combined it, I believe. So they wrote some songs for the movie, and then they had their songs they had already written. So a lot of his songs are very bitter and jaded. Mm-hmm. So the album is a cool mixture of like bitter and jaded songs, but then also some like songs about hopeful love, though from the perspective more of Louder Wainwright. But like but it is a nice like spectrum in the album, you know.
Yeah.
The album is way better than I know he's a dear friend of you, Judd Apatow, but the album is infinitely, infinitely look, better than
a
the
guy
movie.
Shares your late night set. What are you gonna do? Not we simply must stand forever.
Well, then I have to never say something bad about Tom Arnold. So,
oh shit!
No, one time I opened for him, and he posted a thing where he's like, "Rod is really funny. Give him a follow." But he didn't put the period in front of it, so it only went to me.
That's so funny. That's so brutal.
But I couldn't be like, can you make that? You know, he's not good enough. He's not big enough for me to like really make it awkward to be like,
man,
can you let the world see this?
Isn't it weird when somebody does that shit and you're like, even though it's a nice gesture, it's like there's nothing. You can't be like, hey, man, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he did it on purpose. Maybe he knew and he was trying to get some
like he what? Just didn't want to be associated with
it. Yeah, but he wanted you to think he was a good guy.
I love the idea that he's that tech savvy. He's like,
him and Roseanne used to get into a lot of tech.
I'm going with Occam's Razor and just saying a 60-year-old man doesn't know how to use Twitter as opposed to, oh, I know how to use Twitter, but I don't want to be associated with this Jew, so I'll put a period in front of it.
Like Tom Arnold made a Finster.
Help him, but help him without having any real accountability or giving away any real attention or exposure. Perfect plan.
I only posted it to close friends. Oh, no. No, I opened for Rob Delaney back in the day, height of Twitter fame. And he tweeted, like, being very nice. He was like, this guy's funny, follow him. And then he deleted it like 4 hours later.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever told me that. That's wild.
And I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, and I think I looked and it's like he does that a lot. He like cleans out his tweets. But I was like, give me a week.
Give me a week, yeah.
That did seem to be a much bigger thing back in the day, the clean timeline.
Yeah, as if anybody scrolls your timeline
now. Well, that was before when it wasn't just an endless sea of content, too. Mm-hmm. Like, so back then, I think you had like, we'll do one tweet today and another tweet next week. Yeah. And now it's like, should I have 34? 4,000 tweets a day, or is that too much? You know what I
mean? Or should I take it easy? Should I take 33,000?
You know, but that's good 4 hours, man. Yeah, maybe he reconsidered.
Yeah, he might have looked at my tweets. I had some rough stuff about how tacos actually sucked or something.
Controversial. Oh, yeah.
You had that set.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that.
The famous Kimmel set.
I was wondering what the process of that set was. I mean, like,
I know.
You know, because I assume, like, it wasn't that long ago. I assume you do it a bunch.
Right.
You do run it.
Yeah.
So, but it seems like he didn't run it.
He must have, though. But he was on top of it. Like, because when I opened for him, he was kind of new to performing stand-up again.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe doing an hour. He was, again, I want to say, he was super nice. And I'm a big, his Twitter
great
was
in
like,
that show,
so
Catastrophe
good.
At the
I didn't watch that.
Yeah.
But he was newer to doing stand-up, I think. He had gotten, it was one of those things where he was like an actor, I think, in, I want to say London, somewhere in Europe.
He was in Spam-a-Lot.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, he was?
He was like a touring cast member of Spam-a-Lot.
Oh, I had no idea. I thought he was just like a fucking nobody blew up on Twitter.
Yeah.
No, all these like old like big British Twitter accounts blew him up because they saw his tweets and they were like, this guy's hilarious. And then he was like one of the first guys to have like millions of followers on Twitter from just being funny on Twitter.
Is the joke? I remember watching the set. Mm-hmm. Are they like things that are just would be really funny on Twitter where it's like half a thought kind of? Twitter is great where it's like, oh, that's a good premise, but there's no joke being said yet. But it works. It's actually not good to have the joke on Twitter. Like, you want actually just a premise, and then people, like, give it a like. That's why so many people get popular on Twitter with bullshit. Uh-huh. They're just like, hot spicy food is the lesbian of...
tread lightly, Rana. Our entire fan base is people with blue check marks. We have the blue check mark mob.
Come at me. That's fine. But, I'm thanked. I know. But, like, I saw, like, his set is basically, it's like a bad version of Gary Goldman, where it's like, it's like obsessing over one thing.
Yeah.
But there's no good jokes, but it's just like, it's like just keep like, on going back to
but
tacos.
But I'm
going to,
like, really perform this. Yeah,
but if you don't have
tacos,
the good, like, Goldman will be like, so many good jokes on one topic. But if you don't have the good jokes, you just see the weird, you're like, why are you talking about tacos? Like, like you don't have the jokes, it just seems autistic. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But
it's
maybe there's killer tweets, you know?
Sorry, guys,
let's shit on someone else who shared and helped you out in your career.
I hope you guys have enjoyed this show.
So I did a lot of research on the train ride over, and what I found out about Lon Wainwright, did you know?
I happen to learn today that his name is pronounced Loudon.
have you all heard of him? I don't want to be a dick, but have you all heard of him?
I did know about him from the Judd Apatow stuff, and I knew about him as like in that, you know, 60s, 70s, one of those guys.
Were
you know?
Wondering why I was like, most underappreciated musician is a supporting actor in a couple of Judd Apatow movies?
Yeah, were you wondering about Wayne Fetterman, one of
most
the
most underappreciated musical geniuses? Let's go with the priest at the end of 40-Year-Old Virgin.
But no, I was a Rufus fan for a minute
really?
When I was younger.
Before
and I knew
you
that
found
that
was
out
his he was
dad.
Gay?
Yes. Now I saw Rufus Wainwright.
Lost another good one.
I saw Rufus Wainwright open for Ben Folds, I think, and his voice is just so incredible. Rufus's voice,
it's the best, yeah.
Like an amazing voice. So I listened to him for a while, and I found out in my research that Loudon Wainwright III is actually the son of Loudon Wainwright Jr.
Oh yeah,
which I thought was very interesting. Well, and you wouldn't believe who his dad. Yeah. Yeah.
The greatest, so I'm obviously, my music taste is a little middle-age-ish.
Yes, the first thing he ever pitched us was Bob Dylan.
Right. And we did
which
on
we
Patreon.
Did end up talking about. Yeah, yeah.
One time I played Bob Dylan, I was driving my grandpa around, I had Bob Dylan playing, and he's like, the music you young kids listen to today is terrible.
He just wants to hear like the Entertainer.
Where's a racist country music singer from the 20s? You know, So the best concert I've ever seen was at the Louisville Public Library. Mm. It was Loudon Wainwright. And it was just me and a bunch of sad middle-aged couples. I think my parents might have been there, too. I don't know. And we were all watching, and it was just him. So it was very intimate. Mm-hmm. And he was playing. The show eventually kind of became a Netflix special that he put out.
Ah.
But he was reading articles.
The Netflix special is mostly about tacos. But
he was reading articles. His dad was a very successful journalist. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a lot of articles for, I believe, Time. And he was reading out these articles about the father had kind of written about him as a kid.
Ah.
And then he would play songs about his father and about his own kids.
Whoa.
And it was this weird generational thing.
Yeah.
And it was a really amazing thing to watch. It was incredible. I read he read something out loud about his father talking about how to deal with Loudon as like a kid or something about his relationship. I don't remember super well. Something about his relationship with him. And then he played his own song, which he wrote called Older Than My Old Man. Older now than my old man ever was. Maybe I'm fucking. But it's basically a song about how he's outlived his dad.
Interesting, yeah.
Older than my old man. Ah, fuck.
I can't believe it.
I feel bad I'm fucking this up. But
good.
It was this amazing song about how he's older than, you know, his dad is now. It was just
older than my old man now.
Older than my old man now, yeah. And it was an amazing like experience just to see this generational, you know, thing and him reading these articles about his father, then playing these songs about his father, and then you know, it was just like so much generational shit going on there. That was one of the best, concerts I ever saw.
Now,
I don't know if you can call it a concert if it's at the Louisville Public Library. That was the best rock concert. That was the best heavy metal rock concert I ever saw. I don't know.
This is why it's taken so long to have you.
Yeah, like, tell us about the greatest concert ever. Yeah, I was next to the hardback fiction section. I was next to the poetry section. And there was a homeless man to my left.
It's so funny because that was literally like a joke in Flight of the Conchords was that they got booked to play at a library. And then it's like he really did it.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I remember when he came there, he's like, library gigs. Like, he's done it before, you know what I mean? But here's the thing, though. Like, for me, it's like, you know, I love Dylan. I've seen Dylan many times in concerts. But, like, when you listen to Dylan, you're like, I think that's Mr. Tambourine Man. I'm not sure. Like, it's like this band just drowns it all out. And I always reminisce about, you'll never get to see Dylan with just a guitar on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now it's just like a band and then just an old man where they have strings pulling his hands up and down. And like, it's, so to see just one guy, a great singer songwriter alone in a library, just intimately, means so much more than any band I've seen live. I've seen some good bands live. I saw the Shins live. They were great. But it's like,
nice.
I don't, if it's a lot of bands where you see live, you can't hear the lyrics.
Mm.
And I'm a lyric guy. I like music, but I like lyrics. And I don't understand bands where, like, you just can't hear what the fuck they're saying. To me, it's like you hear the metal bands. Anyone, like Foo Fighters, anyone, or like the fucking... whatever. What are the young
I'm hearing metal people.
You do sound
Tenso.
Like a very old man.
But anyway.
Because Foo Fighters, I feel like you can hear
what
they're saying.
Maybe Foo Fighters is wrong.
Definitely not metal.
There was some band I was listening to where they were.
This hip hop.
I just don't want to go down with the ship on that. I need people to know.
What are the young kids listening to? It'll be like someone like, or like.
Also young kids don't listen to Foo Fighters either.
The crazy mime clown posse or whatever.
Yes, the crazy mime clown posse. They should play the library. They're mimes.
Whatever.
But you cannot hear their lyrics.
You know what I'm talking about, whether the band, you can't hear what the person's singing. Yeah. But I'm like, but the guy's singing. So there should be a point to him singing.
Yeah.
And you can't. And I'm like, it ruins it. So to me, like a guy with a guitar, and Loudon's the best guy to see live because he's a great lyricist, but he's different than other lyricists. He's very simple and upfront. And so you can connect to a song. A lot of times when you hear a song, you have to let it process. Mm-hmm. You can connect to a song right away.
That's true. That's very true of listening to him today, because I was like, I did not know who he was, even though I love Knocked Up. I love the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
And I recognized him once I pulled up a picture and I was like, oh, that's that guy. And I knew the song, the daughter song from the end of Knocked Up when they're driving
the
car.
Yeah, yeah.
To cover. But he sings it great.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
And I was...
Yeah.
But
probably his most popular song, honestly.
Yeah, which is funny. Yeah. It's like not even.
I like sentimental cover song,
it's
which is the exact
nothing
opposite
to do with
of
what
him.
He does.
He's like the least sentimental musician.
And also, like, seems like, and maybe I'm wrong. I just read some shit about it, like his relationship with Rufus and daughter, and it seemed like he was kind of a piece of shit of a father.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, he hit her and wrote a song about it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. And
the perfect crime.
I hear
once you put in a song, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I want to hear his song as the husband from the staircase.
It's good that I stopped at hitting you. I remember when I molested you.
Sure. And let's freeze that clip and see where that can go.
You should make like a fake Buzz ballad of like Ron On's greatest hits. And then it's just that.
I remember when I molested you.
Chart tappers, and Glenn just keeps doing that one.
That one.
Just my theme song. Yeah.
But I did appreciate that. Like it was, you could hear everything he was saying. It was nice stories. I really liked the. What was the one where he's like, and you're 53.
Okay, so yeah. So I want to talk about. So that's Living Alone. That's one of my favorite songs about him.
Yeah, that was great.
And to me, Loudon, and what I do think is. So underappreciated about him is that like he kind of came out, you know, there was a Dylan craze and then they're always looking for the next new great singer songwriter. And that's where they, you know, he even does a song about this, but they're looking for those next great guy. And there was Bruce Springsteen, there's Neil Young, and Loudon is one of these guys who went the other way. Like Neil Young and Bruce Springsteen are both great, obviously. And they kind of fall under Dylan's influence, and especially Bruce Springsteen writing metaphorically. Dylan really put a lot of like, you know, cryptic metaphors and like beatnik type poetry in his songs. Loudon went the other way, where he is a singer-songwriter, but he was very literal and very journalistic. So his songs, even though there are metaphors, a lot of the power is in straightforward details.
Yeah.
So the same way Dylan can have like a powerful image, Loudon will have that with the line, and you're 53 now.
Yeah.
You're 53 now. And what's brilliant about that line to me is and this is, he almost like he's like the closest to a stand-up comedian in a musician where he can be really funny and then tragic in the next moment. That line is right after a Jackin' Off line.
Yeah,
so you get this contrast. He goes, you know, a roll of toilet paper in the right magazines, you know. So he has an issue, he has like a reference to Jackin' Off, which is fun, and then to create a tragic
maybe
comic
for
thing.
Some.
Yeah. I know
the pervert.
Yeah,
to
I'm sorry.
Show.
I forgot this was a no jacking off. Forgot
this
was
is no
fap. I forgot. Sorry. I'm sorry.
It's always no nut November on.
Sorry. Never do
Stand
it.
By your band.
But I opened for Steve-O once, and he was no fap. It was pretty interesting.
I've heard that. It makes sense.
Yeah. Well, he's just afraid to do a lot of things. You know?
I would never go there.
I was looking outside smoking a cigarette, and he was like, can you not smoke in front of me? It's really bad for you.
Oh, wow.
And then he stapled his nuts on stage 2 minutes later.
Now excuse me while I pour blood on myself and go kick a great white shark in the nuts. But don't smoke around me, please. Seriously.
Shark in the nuts.
Sharks have nuts.
That is
gonads.
People always say, like, what should you do if you see a shark? And I would say, if you're listening to the show, it's all fun and games. Do not kick a shark in the nuts.
No, no.
You're going to have a bad time.
Yeah, yeah, not a good idea. No defense against an animal to ever kick it in the nuts. No. It's never like, you see a grizzly bear, play dead. But before you play dead, kick it in the nuts first.
Try this out.
But I feel like that would work. I feel like if you kicked a grizzly bear in the nuts. Yeah. He'd probably be like, ooh, and then like run away, you know?
That's the part of the Herzog documentary you don't see.
Yeah. It'd be like an unusual pain for them. You know, they wouldn't know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they never kick each other in the nuts.
That's like an unwritten rule.
Yeah,
you punch them or scratch them. They're like used to it. They're like, ah. Yeah. But you kick them in the nuts, you're like, whoa. It's like a new thing. You know? But sharks, they do. It's hard for them to kick them in the nuts because they don't have them, which is a good. Really good defense to being kicked in the nuts, not having them, not having them evolved in you. But anyway, so that song, you have this jackal, which is like, you know, like a great moment in a movie that's very funny in one moment and then very sad in the next. Mm-hmm. You have this jack off line, and then you have, you're 53 now. Your parents are dead now.
Yeah.
And your kids are full grown, and you're 53 now.
And you live alone.
And
he
hits 53 so hard. And it's so the opposite of Dylan, but Dylan is all like, and the clowns are in the restroom, and the, you know, and the juggler, and, you know, he literally has a, you know that song, what's it called? Ballad of a Thin Man.
Yes, I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song, but me and my buddy always had a, like, joke about the chorus. It'd be really funny if the chorus was just like, and you have no idea what I'm talking about, and neither do I. You walk into the room, and the clown says hi, and you have no idea what I'm talking about, and neither do I. But so loud is the opposite, where it's like, you're 53 now, you can't get more specific.
Yes.
That is not a fucking metaphor.
No.
That is,
and it's like, it is such a perfect age to nail to, where you're like, that's the number. There's something about 53 where you got to be like, God damn.
It's better. And that's the stand up part. It's like the perfect. Stand up is so much always about figuring out the perfect number.
Rory Scovel used to have this bit back before he like had a Netflix special or anything, back when he was like still kind of underground. He came to the Comedy Attic and they would play his clip over and over again. And the clip they were playing was this bit that we would quote all the time just because the number was so specific and funny. And the bit is like, I'm sure he doesn't do it anymore, but he's talking about like an older guy at work who would on Wednesday be like, oh, we're almost there.
Oh, yeah,
and he's
like,
almost where, Dave? You're 59 years old.
Exactly.
Where are we going together? You are 59.
There's another great one, a Todd Barry one. I forget the age though, but it was so great. Where this is a very old joke. You can tell by the premise. He goes, I decided to join MySpace. I figure, why not? I'm only 48.
So that must have been about 20 years ago, huh?
I think he's 112. names are great, and they're so specific. And I keep on stressing the opposite of Dylan. Dylan, you can never pin down anything about him. And I love Dylan, but it's all mystery. It's all vagueness and Loud, and it's the human form. And it's just specific. And one of the second greatest concert was also Loud and Wainwright.
Oh, shit.
I was at a nursing home. And I'm joking. I'm joking. No, I saw, it was like a theater. And I guess people have had this. You know, you go to a concert, you really hope to hear the song you love.
Yeah.
And then they come out and play it immediately.
Yes.
Like, this is going to be a good fucking show.
Yeah.
So Living Alone is my favorite song. I saw it with my buddy, and we love that song. And we come in, and he comes on stage with a guitar, and he just starts playing that song. But this is many years later. So he gets to that part.
Yeah.
And he's thinking about Living Alone. He gets to that part, and he goes, and you're pretty old now.
He couldn't say 53. Yeah, he's too old.
Yeah. Alone. Yeah. And then you're like seeing this old man. He's older. And he's still living alone. And you're like, this is fucking. You're seeing a guy's fucking all the failings of someone on you know, and it was just such a beautiful
concert, you know, just to see that moment.
That
know?
Is great. It is that's a tricky moment when you go to see the band you like and that you're hoping for a song they played immediately because it can go one or two. Sometimes you're like, oh, fuck, that's what I was looking forward to. Like, I went to see my favorite metal band, Hanson, and they played Moonbop out of the gate. I'm like, where do we go from here?
Yeah, if you're a one-hit wonder, you really can't play that first. Jimmy Buffett waits for, I know.
No, that's
not Jimmy Buffett.
You fucked up
so
bad.
No, I know. He's great. Oh, who's it gonna? Well, there's always.
There's a lot of one-hit wonders out there. Jimmy Buffett has like a whole weekend or whatever.
Right. What's the most offensive thing to say? Like if Bruce Springsteen just started with Thunder Road, I mean, what's the point of staying? You know?
Does he have other songs?
No. I don't think so. It's just that.
He has other noise.
I only like post 9/11 Bruce Springsteen. He plays the river, I'm out.
I only know him from 9/11. I thought when the towers fell, he was like, I got to get a guitar and play some songs.
Not the river, the rising.
Send me to Mary's place.
The rising. That's what.
But so, yeah. So, yeah, I've been to plays and bands where they only play. They don't play the song you learned. I think when I saw The Shins, they didn't play the only song I knew of The Shins. So that was really...
Yeah.
No, I love The Shins, but they didn't play the fucking... clearly the best song.
The Lips...
The Lips Suck
Kissing,
My Dick.
Kissing the Lipless and... what's
the song, I found a fatal flaw in the logic of love. That song.
Ooh, I don't know if I know that one. Dumb, or maybe you're just saying it really poorly.
I'm definitely thinking,
I'm the last of you.
I'm like Dylan now. You're like, what is that? I literally saw Dylan at the Beacon. It was right before the pandemic. It was so funny. He just comes out with a band. It wasn't even a joke. I'm not exaggerating. He just goes on the mic and he's like, I'm the I think that's House of the Rising Sun. And then halfway through, he goes, they take a break, and they're in the middle of a song, and he goes, really special person in the audience here tonight. Give it up for Jack White, everybody. Jack White.
Ooh.
And no one stands up, and he's like, I thought Jack White was here.
Ah, that's so funny.
Anyway, Jack White, you're great. And he just like
that's hilarious.
So there's like a famous story. I read Elton John's book recently, and there's a famous story where that same thing happened, where Liberace was on stage and was like, Elton John's in the audience, and he gestured out, and Elton John had like decided not to go to the show. So there's like a very clearly empty seat.
It is a big risk to just like assume, like you want to lock eyes.
You gotta make eye contact. Yeah.
You don't want to just be like, and he said he'd come, and he said nothing would pull him away. He said he would never. There's nothing he wouldn't miss in the world in this show. My dad, everybody, dad.
He doesn't care that it's NFL Week 1.
I saw him earlier. I don't know. Did he walk out? But
I heard Tommy did that on the train today. And Shane Torres is here. Oh, wait, that was on the Patreon.
That was on the Patreon.
Oh, fuck. All right, get on the Patreon.
I saw a woman I thought was Shane.
We all love that song.
I talked to a homeless woman for 22 minutes before realizing it wasn't Shane.
Oh, man.
They had a lot of the same ideas. Oh, man.
We should
go ahead and we've teased Living Alone too much.
Play.
I think we should
play
a little
let's
bit play. Of it for the people so they get a little taste.
A catapult, constrictor in a laboratory rat. The end is at hand now, and you have the means. A roll of toilet paper in the right magazines. Your parents are dead now, and your kids are full grown. And you're 53 now. You're 53 now. You're 53 now.
Damn.
So good.
And also the way he sings that reminds me of John Wilson, because it's all like your, but it's him doing it. It's great.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's had that great, exactly. That, I mean, there's such great structure. It has like, you know, that It almost has a rhythm of like Shel Silverstein with these kind of long, kind of like fun, like clear rhymes, you know? And the whimsicalness of the rhymes, you know? But like, it has that. I mean, that he's the most unpretentious of all musicians. There's no like mystery.
Yeah.
You
no,
know,
I definitely
it's cleverness.
Enjoy that out of it.
But I mean, it is. There is an emotional vulnerability that is so, to me, and especially when you see him live, it's so intense because when you're a lot of times like, and I like cryptic lyrics, I like that, but it is hiding sometimes who you are. And there's no hiding with him. It's all out there.
Right.
And one of the great, and Dylan can do this too, by the way. Dylan doesn't only write, you know, you have no idea what I'm, you know, he writes very beautiful, simple songs. One of the hardest challenges of lyrics is to write something that's simple and clear without being corny and sentimental.
Yeah.
And that's a very hard challenge. And a lot of people ignore that by just kind of writing a collage of images that suggest something and try to ignore any kind of, because if you are clear,
yeah, then it's much
it's vulnerable,
more vulnerable
and
you
can be made fun of, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but he obviously brings a lot of like wry humor to it, but he is so vulnerable, and his early stuff is much more comedic, and I like that stuff, but it's when he gets older.
Let's play one of those, because the first song I listened to today was more, you can hear people laughing,
the shit song. Yeah, I wanted to add that because
because you know how Tommy is.
Yeah. Well, I also wanted to, like, he's known for very fun songs. So I don't want to give you all a bad representation. So the shit song is a fun song I love because it's also dark and shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, his most popular song is literally called, like, Dead Skunk. It's about a skunk.
Right.
On the road,
right.
You know what I mean? I'm not as
a famous novelty song.
Yeah. 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 It's his Werewolves of London. You know? But I'm not as big a fan of those because I just don't. You know,
yeah.
I don't find it that funny. It's just
I did like I he has he's because this shit song, as you put it, no, as he put it, is on a live album, and you hear how funny he is between songs. Like,
terrific, yeah.
I listened to a few more songs than you sent today because I was curious about him. And there's a great moment right before he plays the song Cobwebs where somebody yells out Cobwebs and he goes, "That's impossible!" And then he just starts playing it immediately. It's
no,
great.
He's a great entertainer. That's I think really he funny. Wanted to be it. I mean, I think his first dream was an actor. He's a great.
Well, yeah, and he was in MASH.
He was in MASH. Yeah,
he was. That came up a bunch, and I hate to say it, I don't really remember MASH. I watched a couple episodes as a boy, but it's not a show that I stuck to.
He was the guitarist, right?
Yeah, he was the funny medic or something like that, or the singing medic or something like that. I don't know. The singing sergeant.
Yeah, I've never seen the show.
I saw the movie too because we did in my film class in college. We did an Altman thing, so we watched the movie. The movie's great.
Great movie, great song. I believe it was written by his son.
And the famous anecdote is that his son made more money with that song because the TV show than his dad made his entire career.
Really?
Oh, wow.
From being like a famous director. Yeah,
that's so funny.
That was back when royalties were like that. You just needed like a really good TV theme, and you were set for fucking life.
That
fucking
theme
podcast
song,
theme and
all.
Suicide is painless. Brings on many changes.
So good.
Yeah.
Let's watch MASH.
Watching MASH.
This podcast has no focus.
Super MASH Bros.
Watching MASH and smashing gash.
Oh my god.
The Tommy McNamara story.
No.
I love that. Like they're somehow connected. You know, I'm your typical womanizer. I watch MASH. It's MASH gash. Altman and pussy. You know how it is.
Look, ass, grass, or MASH. You gotta. You gotta provide. All right, let's listen to the shit song.
Well, I run into friends of mine I haven't seen in years. They give me the once over, then their eyes well up with tears. Then they pronounce me looking great. I haven't changed a bit. I'll flash him back a feeble smile. I know I look like shit. Cause I saw myself this morning. And I know of what I speak. I'm a human being. But I look like I reek. And a weaker bathroom light bulb just might take care of it. 'Cause the mirror shatters your illusions when you look like shit.
That's a nice little time. A humble man.
Well, it's also like it reminds me, I think what is great about him, if you listen more to that song, it gets into like getting older, you know, and it becomes more than just a parody song, you know.
Yeah.
But that is kind of what he is. He has the straightforwardness of a parody singer, a folk parody singer, but then there's a lot more depth to his songs. But the same straightforwardness where you're like, you know, you're kind of understanding it all right in the moment. You know what I mean? You know, like, you know, but that's another, a great song, you know.
Good time. So that was the first song I listened to, and I was very confused about what he was exactly. I mean, that is, I enjoyed that song, but I was like, oh, what are we in for today? And then hearing the rest, I was like, okay, this is more like it. I did enjoy that, though. It's fun. And you can tell the,
I mean, that's more of a parody song.
Right. Yeah.
But none of his songs, I mean, like, you know, he's not like an, like, he doesn't create very, like, original melodies. Most of them have pretty traditional folk, you know, progressions and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So in that sense, he is, there is a parody singer quality to him. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's just like, he's a great voice and the lyrics are just, I don't know, they're just incredible. They're funny and dark and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's the kind of stuff I love in movies, you know, or stand-up, you know? So it's just like, you know, it's cool to have a musician like that, you know?
It is cool. It is tough to imagine, like...
It's like non-transcendent music. But, but in that sense, it is it becomes transcendent because it's just so much about real life.
Yeah. I would have trouble, like, listening to this. This is, I mean, there's many ways to listen to music, as Tommy always says. And, there's about six or seven. And I can't imagine listening to this, like... at the gym or like do you ever do that?
I mean, yeah, I do, but I'm a weird, you know, I do the elliptical. It's right for the elliptical.
And listen to that on the elliptical. Yeah, that's exactly what I was imagining, is I was thinking to myself on the elliptical listening to this, and I was like, I could not.
I have a weird, I mean, I'll listen to like the Schindler's List theme song on the fucking elliptical. I don't, you know.
That really gets you running.
Really does. I did actually.
Oh my God, that just reminded me of that Devin Booker tweet.
So
Devin Booker,
NBA player. Suns,
He plays for the Suns, elite basketball player. Somebody found a tweet of his from 2011 when he was in high school, I guess, or middle school or something, and he tweeted, "We're watching Schindler's List in class. Hashtag bored."
That is so funny.
It was great.
He's not actually getting in trouble for that, is he?
No. It was just a thing people thought was funny. He was clearly a child, like a kid, when he wrote that.
Like, but that's actually like, deliberately, that would have been a really funny joke. I don't know if he was actually trying to be funny.
I think he was like, maybe, I think he was just talking about his day on Twitter.
Yeah, he
might have been trying to be
but
funny.
That is a really, like, that's a deliberately funny thing to say. I watched Schindler's List
bored.
On the gym. I remember I watched an increment for a week, and it did help because I, like, get really tired. And I look over and you see all these Jews being killed. And I'm like, I could do a little more. I'm okay.
That's a bit. Have you done that?
No.
Bit. Yeah. I mean, it's insane. I tried it on
my first album and my second, but maybe I'll do it.
I tried it on there. You're using those as like workouts.
No, I haven't tried, but maybe I'll try it. Yeah. Some people do.
Well, do you have time to add it to your special coming out next week?
I could tape it in.
Just kind of straight to camera.
Said to me that, like, you know how people are like, I don't want to burn material anymore, and I don't want to burn on Instagram, so I'll just have Q&A with the audience or whatever But then I literally talked to somebody who's like, did a Netflix series, like, I didn't really want to burn all my good material
and on Netflix.
I'm like, where do you burn it?
Where do you burn it?
Because people do definitely like, had all those things come out where like, you know, those showcase shows, and I know comics who went on there is like, I don't want to burn anything too good,
right?
And I'm like, but it's Netflix,
truly insane.
Well, you can burn it.
Also, I feel, and maybe I'll regret this soon. Now I am going the other way, where it's like, fucking put it on Instagram. Who cares?
I put everything on Instagram.
Yeah, who cares anymore?
The only people, like, I've had people, like, fans who are like, maybe watch my special or saw me do a special live and been like, I heard some of those jokes already. It's because I posted the video early.
Uh-huh.
But those people are already fans.
Yeah, like, that's the shit, difficult thing. And anywhere. if you're listening and you like comedy, you got to understand the market we're living in right now. You have to fucking get 100,000 Instagram followers, or else you fucking suck, and nobody wants to book you for headlining weekend or whatever, and you don't make any money. So you got to post this shit so that people will follow you, and then when you go see somebody do at a club, they might be doing some of that material because they, and like, you try to write new shit, obviously, but sometimes a lot of the people who are in the crowd haven't seen any of that shit.
I think it's tricky. I think most people are like worried. I remember this was years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember this is like, there wasn't even Instagram. I was on YouTube. I was in Louisville and some comedian was worried. He was like, man, what if I post a stand up video on YouTube and then I'm in Michigan and someone like yells out for me to do that bit or I start doing that? And I'm like, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. You're going to die in complete anonymity. You're never going to leave this town, and you're a complete failure. And I don't even think you'll ever get work in Michigan. Like, but to me, it's like, if people are your material, you've made it.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have.
And I get if you are already have like a huge draw.
Yes. Then they don't want to keep. They don't want to keep seeing you come do the same thing.
So
but
I
when
get
you're
like,
working
like
your
Sam
way
Marill
up,
does that. I get why he doesn't want to burn shit because it's going to be on a special. Of course. But before you get to that level, you just want people to know you exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So and by that you want to burn all these comics no one's ever heard of. All they now know of them is they're really good at finding out how long someone's been married. You know what I mean? Like it's like, oh, I should see him. He's very inquisitive. Like it's just like, but
that's so
but
many
that's,
questions. But that's that would like, be great. Just post the question. Don't even post your response at all.
That's pretty much how it is now.
Yeah, there are some guys.
How long have you been married? See me on these dates.
Yeah, we joke about that. There are a couple comedians who legitimately, they're like, wait, you're married to a doctor? That's crazy.
www.
Here's where you can see me live.
But it's like,
I'll ask you if you're married to a doctor.
But no one's going to want to see you live for that. So it's like, you want to like.
You would think that. And then all the comments are like, I've been trying to see you for 10 years.
He's incredible. He asks if you're married to the person next to you, and then he asks more questions about that. It's incredible.
And if you are on a date, he says that you actually are in the friend zone.
Lock it up already. I cannot, like, I don't know. To me, the whole point of stand-up is to be selfish and to be about your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of caring about what other people.
I will say this. I was saying this before, and then my wife said that it does make it more fun. It makes you feel like it's, like, in the moment, and it makes it a special, like, thing. And so I started doing it, and I realized, like, oh, it makes stand-up so much easier. Like,
oh, it does make it easier.
Yeah, it makes it a billion times easier because you just, like, incorporate little tidbits from the crowd into your shit.
Oh,
and all
course.
Of a sudden, you look like a genius.
Of course.
Really, writing a good bit is way harder than any of that shit.
I really think it is a very noble effort to go on stage and just do jokes and try to do well.
Yeah.
And that is, like, a hard thing to do. Now, I do think you should incorporate shit from the audience. I don't think you should. I think it's bad to be completely scripted up
just
there.
Static. Like, because then it is, like, people could
but
just
But the
watch
what do you.
You
do for a living bullshit?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, first, I can't say that with a straight face. I just can't pretend to care what you do for it. Because it also, like, leads to, like, it just leads to such hackery.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, because it just puts, like, to me, comedy, you should, like, make people think, not, like, put everyone in boxes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but and when you dumb down the audience, the audience is malleable. So they can be smarter as dumb as you want
them. Sometimes. I don't think that's always true. I think sometimes you go to Little Rock.
And, maybe. But I think a club in general, I don't know. Bloomington is not, like.
Oh, yeah.
Bloomington's a smart club, but it's not a. I wouldn't call that a hip town. You know, maybe it's a college. Maybe it's a college.
Oh, you're out of your fucking mind.
but they shaped an audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Couldn't you imagine easily a horrible road club in Bloomington, Indiana?
I mean, there used to be one.
Yeah. I had my first paid gig there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you can't shape an audience. So when you ask those questions, you're shaping an audience.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I agree.
I saw it was fun, though, the other day. I watched someone do crowd work and get, like, huge laughs and try to go into their material that's not that good and just start dying.
Love
and
to, like, see it.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Makes me feel good for you to feel pain.
Sure. My whole set was kind of weird.
But no, but I do think you can incorporate shit. Like, I do think it's fun. You know, it is put you in the moment.
That's what I like about it, is it puts me on my toes. And sometimes that can create fun. It doesn't matter. We gotta get to a couple more songs.
I'm sorry.
It's not you. I love talking comedy. I could do it all damn day. Unfortunately, we don't have all damn day.
No, we don't.
And we got to listen to a song about Loudon's relationship with his daughter called Father-Daughter Dialogue, which I found very interesting and weird.
Very weird.
I don't know how I felt about it. As somebody who...
Drew Michael stole this for his first special at the end.
As somebody with a
weird
deadbeat father, yes, I was like, "What the fuck is this?" But it was interesting.
This is not one of his more popular songs. I just thought it was interesting.
It's interesting to hear, like, from a performer standpoint, but as father / daughter, it seems like a strange song to put together. Yes. But let's go ahead and hear some of it.
Daddy, with your songs, do you hope to right your wrongs? You can't undo what has been done to all your daughters and your son. The facts are in and we have found that basically you're not around. Dearest daddy, try as you might, all you are is just uptight. You sing of my mother and me, somewhat sentimentally. You sing of a father and son, when all you do from him is run. You like to think that things are okay by singing things that you should say. Dearest daddy, with your songs, do you hope to right your wrongs? Darling daughter, can't you see? The guy singing the songs ain't me. He's someone people wish I was. But I can't do this, dude. Does. And if the song seems slightly pat, I know life's messier than that. They're just songs and life is real. They're just my version how I feel. And you don't feel the same, I know. How it went down or it should go. My mistakes you label wrongs. I expiate my guilt with songs.
Okay, we can't play the whole thing, but that's that song is fucking crazy, right?
Crazy. I mean, it is.
I was like Googling it to see like if there was commentary on it of some kind, of people being like, "What the fuck?" There's nothing. It's crazy.
I find it so moving. I don't want to be like that guy who's like, you know how like anytime Pete Holmes is on stage, he's always like, "If you don't say the thing I thought of in the shower earlier today, if you don't say it later today, then you don't have a soul." You know, if you don't say my catchphrase. But like, I do feel like if you aren't moved by that, it's like there's something wrong with you. I don't know. It's just like, I'm just finding it so moving.
Do you understand? You're supposed to be moved. No, I've never heard of Pete Holmes, but
I don't know. It just hits me like a ton of bricks. Yeah. To me, it's like, so many great musicians. There are so many great musicians. But I will say, like, the romantic notions of music has kind of destroyed my life.
Yeah.
Or destroyed a lot of people's lives. The romantic notions created by anyone, from Bruce Springsteen to Dylan to Neil Young. You know, like, and this is an anti-romantic. This is a guy who just, so this is a song deconstructing even his own myth in his songs.
Yeah.
So if you think of a song like, I'd like to think of like Willie Nelson's song, which is such bullshit. You were always on my mind.
Yeah, right. I love that song.
You're always on my mind, even though you weren't there. But that is a song where he's expiating his guilt. You know what I mean?
It's a great song. Yes.
It's a great song. Of course. But it is a romantic notion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so what he's doing here, which is postmodern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He has written a song to reveal the reality behind the songs. Now, granted, this creates another layer, because mm-hmm. this is also a myth, because he's writing lyrics for his daughter to
yeah.
sing.
Yeah.
You know? So it's yes. also weird. Another layer. There is inauthenticity, yeah. but it is the ultimate postmodern song where you yeah. are... You are admitting that it's your narrative and not, and including, you know, mm-hmm. in your best attempts, you're including, you're revealing something there that I just find powerful, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, I definitely thought it was powerful. It's very interesting, but it's like reading about the relationship he had with like Rufus, where they were like wanted to kill each other and stuff. Yeah. And like that Rufus made a joke about how like he only got a feature in Rolling Stone or something yes. like that because of Rufus.
Yeah.
And like they were that pissed
cover
him
together.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah it's very.
I think he said that right before they took the picture. You're only here because of me.
And I like the daughter singing and then him. I do think like it would be fun if they threw in like a couple claps here and there and a hey. I think that'd be a good addition to the song, pep it up a little bit, you know?
Their family's very weird because there is a lot of distance in their family fighting, but they also yeah. play together and are very open about their lives. Mm-hmm. There's another song where Ladin plays with a daughter about like I think the song's called like You Never Call, You Never Write. Mm-hmm. And it's just them singing. But they're obviously like close enough to do a song together.
That's the bizarre thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a family of artists. So it's like, you know, it's like comedy. It's like you're open. You know, it's all in the name of content. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, they'll bring their shit out just to have good. Because right. she had.
They're like housewives.
Yeah. Well, one of her most favorite songs is about him, and it's called
Bloody Motherfucking Asshole. Yeah. Right? I was just beautiful.
It was a great song. Crazy. Yeah. But so like, but to me that song, I don't know, that song is so, when he's like, the song ain't me, it's someone mm-hmm. who people
yeah.
wish I was.
Yeah.
I mean, that, to me, it's just like, it hits me like a ton of bricks yeah. and it's like, I don't know. I saw Rufus Wainwright play, live recently or last year and he was doing covers of like famous, American folk tunes. Mm-hmm. And then he did a couple of his songs, and then he did his father's song, and his dad's song, which was about a divorce, was more powerful than anything else he played that night, just because there's something about Loudon's lyrics. When you hear them in a room, mm-hmm. you just get them immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no time to process. It's not a processing thing. We're like, oh, that was pretty. Let me listen to that again.
Pound.
It's kind of like stand-up. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So
it's punchline.
It's
yeah.
punchline. So it's very vulnerable right away. And that song is like, I feel moved listening to it always, yeah. you know?
Yeah. All right, we have one more song here, and then we got to get to the comments, so we'll play this one kind of quick. Unfortunately, we got to get through this. But this is called Surviving Twin.
Last week I...
Yeah, that one was really good. And,
and if you remarked upon my recent growth of facial hair, you look just like your father did with that beard, someone said... I answered back, I am him, even though my old man's dead. I didn't want to be him. Well, at first I did, when I loved and looked up to him as a little kid. He sent me to his old school, I was a numeral with his name. And he gave me this gold signet ring, and he wore one just the same. And I guess that I believed him, and probably it was true. When he told me I was just like him, that's what some fathers do. But a father's always older, and my dad was rather tall. Who says size doesn't matter? He was big and I was small.
Yeah. That's a great line.
Who says size doesn't matter? He was big and I was small. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of line. You can't like. It's hard to analyze because it's just so straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Like a great movie line, you can't really yeah. analyze a great movie line because you're like, it's just a great line. But he's so witty and so like, I don't know. He has these perfect, just like true lines. And yeah, it defies analysis. It's just an awesome line, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He is the power of the straightforward, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that song. Yeah, what did you think about that song?
I liked it. Yeah, it was fun. It was if I had to rank them, I really liked. Let me see here. I gotta look at the list again. But Living Alone is my favorite. Mm-hmm. The father-daughter song was great. And honestly, I liked them all. Like I enjoyed that song. That was maybe my like least favorite. I didn't have a dad, so
what?
So it's hard for me to.
I didn't have a dad or any ability to imagine something.
No, no, no. Couldn't put that together. No, I enjoyed that. But we got to get to these comments real fast, and then
Peanut Gallery.
The old Peanut Gallery, the people who listen to this show, they get to send in their thoughts on the artists we're talking about. And
people send us thoughts about Ladin?
What's that? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's we like to give them a chance to chime in on whatever we're talking about. So let me find here. I think we only got one on Loudon from on Patreon, I should
Sounds
say.
That's about right.
We go to Patreon first. The people who pay for the Patreon get their thoughts guaranteed to be read.
Okay.
And the comment we have on
who is Louder Wayne? Yeah.
We have Brandon Thompson says swimming song slaps. Otherwise, he seems a bit the sensitive artist fuckboy. Also, points deducted for rhyming daughter and water. Low hanging fruit ass writing. Well, he didn't write that song, to be fair. It's even worse.
Yeah, that comment's just wrong on every level. I was like taken aback by so many wrong statements.
You didn't like swimming song.
I mean, no, swimming song is great, but sensitive fuckboy artist. I don't know. I feel like that's one of the most unpretentious songwriters. If he's a sensitive fuckboy artist, then like who is not? I don't know. Like,
we need a follow up from Brandon.
Did he just want songs that have no sense? Like. I'm just working on my truck today. No emotions. Like, every song has emotions. That's not even, like, a thing where you don't call a musician. Every musician, you kind of assume is sensitive because it's songs.
Mm-hmm. I like this songwriter. He doesn't show any emotion.
that's just insane. Yeah. Father Daughter is a great song, and like,
let's subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah. And but it's a cover, and also those lyrics. I don't know. It's like,
well, Daughter is a cover, right? And then Father Daughter song is.
That's not a cover. Yeah, that'd be crazy. Yeah. Someone else.
That would be fucking insane.
No, that's Willie Nelson.
Ooh, I just got the notification. I forgot about this. By the way, check out our buddy Jeff Sheen on the Tonight Show, or not the Tonight Show, the Late Show this Thursday. Sorry, fuck. I fucked up. It's going to be very funny.
No, it's gonna
oh,
be
my
awesome.
God. He's on with Kris Jenner and Kylie Jenner.
That's very funny.
And stand-up from Jeff Sheen. That's great.
It's going to be great. It's a great show.
He's so funny.
Really funny. He so deserves one, and even now, it's obviously late night doesn't matter, so it's pointless. But he waited till literally the end of the world. But he's an amazing comic. Yes. I'm so excited for it. You know,
Tommy, did we get anything on the Twitter?
We just got one, and it is Husker Durag at Sparkles Comedy said, my introduction to him was randomly hearing medley A, I Know I'm Unhappy, B, Suicide Song, C, Glenville Real on a radio station years ago, and I became an instant fan.
Is that multiple choice, ABC?
I think that's just what the medley's called. He said, Suicide Song tugs at your heartstrings while making you laugh, Death Away. Plus, he was hilarious on Undeclared.
Hey, mentioned Undeclared. Yeah. I remember liking Undeclared.
Yeah. I bet I would like it because I love Freaks and Geeks. Yeah. It's the same, you know, kind of.
I watched Undeclared before I saw Freaks and Geeks because it was just one of those shows that was on, I think it was on Fox, and it was just like, I remember being at home and it was on. And I was like, "What is it?" I liked it.
It's okay. It's clearly missing that Paul Figg. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You need that Paul.
You could say that about a lot of Apatow's work.
Hey, enough of the Apatow talk.
Work is either great or missing Paul Figg.
All right. On the Facebook, we got Kevin Bannon says, Attempted Mustache is the greatest name for an album ever, and the cover art is pretty stellar, too. Mm-hmm. And he says, Swimming Song is an absolute perfect song. Tuneful, funny, sincere. It's the best. Sounds like summer. Jay Baker says, remember him on Undeclared. Cal Westray says, yesterday was his birthday.
Ooh.
He appeared a few times on MASH.
Wait, I know that guy. Who is that? That sounds familiar, that guy's name. Cal.
Cal Westre. I want to say he's a Dayton guy or something.
I know him from the back in the Midwest.
Yeah. And then last one here is from Matt Alonzo Morning. He says, I have no thoughts, but I do hope at some point during the podcast someone says, if it's too loud and you're too old. Pretty good.
Is that Matt Alonzo Martin?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I call him Matt Alonzo Morning. It's a bit that's mostly just for me. I've been doing it for many years now. Anyways, we got to wrap this thing up. This has been a great time, Ron.
Thanks
so much for coming.
Wait, I haven't put on plug my special.
Oh, we're doing that. We're going to do that. I was trying to sneak that in way earlier, and I forgot. You barreled
over.
No, we got to promote it right now. This is the time.
No one's getting this far.
It got a shout out like 20 minutes ago.
Did it?
I didn't mention that you had a special coming out next week.
I thought that would be a good chance for you
to plug
it in there, but you decided to pass that moment up.
I
gotta
be a fucking shill and just like plug it in there.
Don't point at me like I'm the famous shill. You know, like
gotta be a shill like Tommy. That's what we all say about you. Classic sellout.
That's why it's all going so well.
All right, guys. Check out Jeff Sheen's Late Night Set. We'll see you guys next week.
We did plug that.
You played that over my fucking special.
You had the opportunity. God, all right.
Jokes from the underground.
I'm kidding.
I got it. When is this coming out?
Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. So my special's not even available yet. but
you should subscribe to Ron on YouTube, though, now.
Subscribe to me. I got a special. I taped at the Comedy Cellar, and it's going to come out on YouTube.
Why are you talking to them like they're idiots now?
I feel like my mom talks to Chinese waiters at a restaurant. We will have
racist
the
in your plug.
Low
this
man.
Is wild.
I'm trying to shed ghosts.
You're like, yeah, you took the shots at Apatow before you fucking. Oh my god!
No, so I have a special coming out. It's called Jokes from the Underground. I taped at the Comedy Cellar, and it's going to be on YouTube September 14th at 8 p.m. Watch it live because I think it helps the algorithm lords.
Sure.
So watch it live. You can subscribe now to my YouTube channel at jokesfromtheunderground.com. That way, you don't have to fucking learn how to spell my name. And you can also follow me on Instagram, Ron on Comedy, RAANAN Comedy.
I do still, if you're knowing you for years, spell your name wrong every single time.
I do not. definitely check out Ron on Specials. One of the best comics.
Yes.
So fucking funny. I didn't get to see this one live, but I got to see the one before live, and it was one of the hottest fucking hours I've ever seen. So check that album out too.
Mm-hmm. He's like Jeff Sheen on acid.
I have a bunch of road dates coming up. I will be in Denver this weekend at High Plains Comedy Festival, so come out to that Thursday through Saturday. Next week I'll be at Kansas City Comedy Club in Kansas City, as it were. After that I'll be at Cap City in Austin. Then I'll be at Poughkeepsie, Laugh It Up Poughkeepsie. Then I've got Rumors in Winnipeg, gotta buy that flight. Houston Riot. The bunch of stuff before I move, and then I'm doing an album, my first album. Ooh. At Collins, Colorado at Comedy Fort. So come out to that, and then
long awaited for, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's been a whole fucking thing, but I'm excited for that. So if you live in Fort Collins, come out to that. Also, if you live in Louisville and bought tickets, I think I'm gonna have to cancel on that, and I apologize. I'm working on rescheduling it. I apologize. And if it's too late, I might actually end up
there.
It's the end of this month. At the end of September, so I apologize. Tommy, what you got?
I will be opening for friend of the show Joe Quazala in Chicago this Thursday, 9/8.
Shit, that's right.
And he's about to tape a special in Philadelphia, I will be opening for him as he runs it in Chicago. It'll be a great time.
Hell yeah. Get out there, get on the Patreon, check out Ron on shit. Check out Ronan's podcast with Joe too, the movie show. What the hell is it called again? Joe and Ron.
Joe
talk
and Ron
movies.
On
you worked on the movie show.
Joe, I worked on
that was your show.
That's some bullshit name, like the movie show.
Yeah, what the fuck is your dumbass called?
The movie show.
All right, thanks everybody. We'll see you guys next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.